Like I always say, it's like we should change the name of college to like playground, because that's what it is. It's like a professional playground where you get to try new things and talk to people who don't agree with you on certain things. And it's just this amazing playground to like foster ingenuity and where I should go in life.
That is Alex Boylan, the host, executive producer, and founder of a groundbreaking television show called The College Tour. It's a show that kind of flips the script for students and parents alike by bringing the idea of the college tour right into their own living rooms. In just a few short years since its creation, the show has helped to bring more than 150 colleges of all shapes and sizes into focus for thousands and thousands of students across the United States. Today, we'll talk to the innovator and one-time reality show star who brought the college tour concept to life. Welcome to the AKA Innovation Podcast. I'm your host, Ann Kadimian. In each edition of the podcast, I talk with leaders and innovators whose bold ideas and actions have led to transformative change within their industries or throughout the world. We will explore these concepts or ideas as means to inspire and drive change across the educational ecosystem. In today's conversation, I am joined by Alex Boylan. Alex, welcome to AKA Innovation.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to be here.
It is so great to have you here to talk about the college tour. And I have to say, we had such a blast back in October when the Universities at Shady Grove was the site for a college tour episode.
It's a great episode, right? It's so good.
Well, we're so excited. In fact, tonight, we're going to do a little bit of a premiere, yeah. So we're very excited about that as well, popcorn and all, and people are buzzing all around campus about it.
I love it.
I was on my way over here. I was stopped by about 15 people saying, hey, it's happening tonight. The launch is happening tonight. So everyone's excited about it.
Thank you for having me back. It's really fun to be here.
It's great to have you. So, you know, this podcast is all about innovation that is transformative and how that innovation can help us rethink education and the educational ecosystem. And you're doing that in such an incredible way with the college tour. So I wonder if we could start with you telling us a little bit about how did you get this idea? Where did that idea come from? I think it starts with your niece.
It does.
So tell us about that.
Absolutely. And I want to just say thank you, because I consider you a pioneer and a leader in innovation. What you're doing here at this institution is awesome. So, you know, I know this is about the college tour, but what you're doing here, it's really special. So, So the college tour, I need to rewind probably 5 years ago. My niece, she lives in Chippewa at the time, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, a little town 2 hours from Minneapolis.
I know Chippewa Falls.
You know Chippewa Falls. And her mom, my sister, she was a junior in high school at the time, and she gave her one trip to go take a look at college campuses. And my niece, Isabel, chose to come stay with me in Los Angeles. And I had such a special time. It was I don't have kids, and so it was the first, you know, nephew, niece that was going off to school. And I just had a blast taking her to every campus. And just, it brought me, rewinded me 25 plus years. How did I think through this process? And what is the right, you know, place for me and vibe and all those intangibles? So anyway, after spending a week together, at the end, I can remember like it was yesterday. We're at the dinner table, and Isabel's mom, my sister, Andrea, first Isabel goes, you know, this has been great. I love LA. I really want to go look at some schools in Maryland. I want to go back to Boston where you and mom grew up. I want to go look at some schools in Texas. And she's just rattling off all these states. And my sister's like, Izzy, what do you think we're made of money? Like, I told you one trip. You're lucky you got this trip. And if your uncle didn't live in Los Angeles, chances are we wouldn't be here. And it just stuck with me, you know, just knowing that my sister, she's a, you know, average person out there. And the fact that, you know, 99.9% of students, parent families don't have the money to just go wherever they feel like going and checking that out. So after that, I said, Isabel, why don't we spend once a week, let's get together and do like an online Zoom session, and we'll start looking at college campuses. So that was the next phase of this. And within like a week or two, I got to tell you, I was overwhelmed. How do I possibly, and every institution does a great job of marketing and explaining themselves and websites, but it's a lot to sift through. And it was just the light bulb went off. It was like, how is there, you know, my background's making television shows. And so I was like, how is there not a show about college campuses where I can just watch from my phone or my TV or whatever device and explore the country from the comfort of my living room or school or what have you? And the college tour was born, and it's been an amazing ride ever since.
That's fantastic. What I love about the college, there's a lot of things we love about the college tour, especially the team that puts it together. But I love that the students are telling the story, right? It's the voices of the students. We had 10 students here at Shady Grove who are the stars of the show. And that's how the college tour is, I think, so successful. You're hearing it from the student, the student's experience. And different, you know, potential students are listening to that and thinking they can see themselves in that student's story, right? And I'm wondering, talk about that a little bit. What's so important about having the students in the center of this? And is that, was that the idea you had to begin with?
Yeah, if you look episode one to, I think we're in episode, you know, I think I filmed just episode 155 the other day. It's a lot, the format is the same. Of course, we've fine-tuned things, but from day one, you know, I was watching Isabel and seeing what she wanted to look at. And it's great to hear from professors. It's great to hear from administrative and staff members, but there's nothing like peer-to-peer. And when think about, you know, when you're talking peer-to-peer, what they can start seeing themselves in that person. And I'd even go another step forward, and I don't want to say it's because of our brilliance. It just happened as I've learned how the college tour has impacted people. Typically, when you, and there's nothing better than stepping foot on a college campus. I always say college tour is a bridge in this system of trying to figure out where to go to school. But when you get there, think about it. Isabel has a personality. And there's a little bit of the person giving the tour. A lot of time they're student-driven, right, on campus. What's the personality of that student? And that can be off and can affect the person's decision. And so what's great about the show is now in a half an hour, I get to see the breadth of the, you know, diversity at that. So it might not be I'm focused on healthcare and not, and but there was an engineering student that was giving me the tour. And so now I think it gives a better just viewpoint from that student trying to figure out where to go. So that was from day one all the way into even making the show and how we make the show. We've stayed very true to the idea that students write the first draft of their script, because if all of a sudden, you know, our team gets involved and your team gets involved, and obviously it's two worlds that come together. You know, I always tell people, it's not like the college tour walks on campuses and makes the show. It's 6 months to make this episode. It's a lot of work from a lot of people to make that. But at the end of the day, it's the student's story. It is, and we need it to be heartfelt and we need it to be real. The audience is going to see through that authenticity. And so we've stayed true to that, which I'm proud of. Of course, we're going to put our TV and film, you know, lens into it and try to enhance it and how we're going to bring this story to life. And there's lots of factors there. But at the end of the day, it is truly that person's story. And I always say, it's always great. I'm like, ask the thousands of students that have been featured on the college tour. They'll all say the same thing. It's so cool. That's my real story. And I think that's really powerful.
That's great. One of the things that we focus on a lot here at the universities at Shady Grove, and I think higher ed is grappling with in general, is how do we become more student-centered? And certainly we'll all say, well, that's why we're here, because we know education is power and we believe in the students. Like, we're all student-centered. But it's different to be student-centered in the sense, I don't want to say customer, because higher education doesn't like that term customer,
no, yeah,
right?
I know.
but, you know, really putting the student in the driver's seat, right? Really giving the student choices. And we, in the institutions of higher ed, we spend a lot of time telling students what they need to do. You know, to get into this program, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to go through this hoop, you need to do that, you need to have these credits, you need, you know, this is what it looks like. And so to really amplify the student's voice and the student's experience, I think that's an important shifting point in how higher education is getting to be more student-centered. In the course of doing the college tour, 155 episodes, that's amazing, congratulations. In the course of doing all this, are you seeing changes in higher education? Just visiting campuses and engaging to do this. I'd love to see what you think that some of the impact is of the show, but also just college is becoming more student-centric.
I 100%. It's interesting you brought up the whole customer, right? And I've heard, and I know in general, higher education does not like to say that. there are a few outliers out there that once in a while will say that. And I you know, at the end of the day, it is, you know, you're trying to create this experience and prepare them for life. I would say the biggest thing, once again, I don't want to, it's not credit to the college tour. It's just an after effect that I've learned that I think is really cool. We, you know, every episode is distributed to about, I mean, I think we have about 60,000 high school counselors that are in our database that are getting this, you know, getting each episode. And I'm just put ourselves in their shoes for a second, right? And I understand there's people re-careering. There's all kinds of different demographics out here looking at higher education, which is really important, especially. That being said, and I'll just tell you about what I hear from the counselors, because I think it's really interesting. They're boots on the ground. These are typically overworked, underpaid. College tour is a huge resource for them. How are they supposed to, one person's supposed to navigate the journey of 2,500 students in their high school? But one of the things we hear time and time again is this: high school students are just more engaged after they start watching the college tour, because the high school student now is being like, oh, like, you know, they're learning, you know, chemistry or whatever they're learning. Sometimes they don't know, why am I taking this? If we all rewind back to that age, right? We're 15, 16. It's like, why do I need to learn algebra? Why do I need to do this? But all of a sudden they start watching someone who's at, you know, higher education and inside that. And now you're hearing, you know, they're a few years older and they're explaining, I want to be this. I want to go do this in life, right? And that's why this, you know, what I'm learning here is helping me get here. And so I think really what's fun is watching that. We bridge this gap that now, you know, younger people be like, oh, that's a cool, that interests me. I didn't even know that was engineering. That's what an engineer does, that. And so now they're more engaged. Now they're saying, okay, now I got to do well here. I got to apply myself really extra hard here because I'm interested in this. And so anyway, I don't know if that I'm 100% answering your question, but it's been fun to watch that just unfold. But I think in general, across the board, from what I both see and having type conversations like this, the amount of work going in, because, you know, in general, once again, I'm just talking in general, it's a different demographic that's coming into higher education right now. And, you know, I'm looking down at these phones, everyone's connected. And so I hear a lot, I'd say there's a lot more organizations, a lot more ways to be part of the community. The extra steps that institutions are doing now to create community, far more than when I went to school, you know, and I think there's a little reason, there's reasonings, there's a different demographic coming up where we used to not have phones and computers, and that's what you did was hang out, and now I almost have to go that extra mile to bring people together. And so I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that I see is trying to really create that community, honestly, and you know get students out of the dorm room, hang out, you know, and have and it's just, we live in a different time. And so higher education, you know, we must adapt to what the demographic that's coming here for.
Absolutely. I think that the availability of the information is very empowering for students as well, just from a perspective of, you know, students having to make a choice or students even imagining what their future could be, to see other students who are achieving, accomplishing, pursuing a dream, what it takes to get there. I think that's so crucial. You know, that's a really important part of centering the student and giving them more opportunity and more experience. You know, a lot of us grew up in a household where someone might have said, like, you're going to go to the college that I went to, right? Or you're going to have the same experience that I had. And we talk to students all the time who said, like, I didn't even know this was an option. I didn't even know I could do X, Y, or Z, you know? So having that knowledge, that information about all these different campuses and different kinds of degree programs and different kind of possibilities, knowledge is power.
It I couldn't say it any better than that. You know, it really, it's an exciting time. I you know, one of the things we have when we look at the demographics of who's watching, of course, it's typically, you know, students that are looking for higher education, but there's also parents, there's grandparents, and there's this, you know, older demographic that is watching the show, and we get emails about it. It's like, if anyone questions, we live in this divisive time, and there's a lot of information out there and a lot of noise, but I say, it's like, you want to have faith in your area, in your state, in your country, in the world? Watch the college tour. These students are incredible. I go, do you know what I hate to say it. I was like a knucklehead coming out of college. I chose international business. I was like, that sounds like I can make money and I like to travel. Like, that was the two thoughts that were in my head when I chose the major. And so, but you watch the students now, they want to change the world. So, you know, so what they're thinking about, we're going, I always tell you, it was like, America's fine. The world's going to be fine. It's almost going to be in better hands when I watch the show, because it's just really impressive of, and it all comes into that knowledge and just information, and exciting to watch it.
Well, and thanks to your innovation, it is an incredible innovation that you're letting the students tell their stories. You're giving them the framework and the means to tell their stories, and that's great. So let's go
back. We love making them stars. It's one of my favorite things is, you know, it's been a while, but early on when we were making this, and I was directing probably the first 6 or 7 episodes as we were getting the show up and running, but there's nothing like, you know, 99.9% of the students that are featured on the college tour have never been on camera before, have never had to be on television before. And it can be nerve-wracking. You know, you got this crew and you got this script that you got to say and all these things. And so nothing gives me greater joy than watching them shine on screen, because that's what it's all about.
And you can see that transformation throughout the week, can't you?
Yeah.
It's really interesting, you know, from the first time they're kind of trying to read their script and doing some things to the, when they're finished, you know, tonight we're going to see 10 stars on the stage, you know, it's just amazing. So, well, let's step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you are one of the innovators in television and the reality TV show, The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about The Amazing Race. Where did the idea come from, you know, for The Amazing Race? And what do you take from The Amazing Race and your other television experiences? You told me just earlier that you used to do a fishing show as well, which is pretty cool. So you've got a pretty broad repertoire. But what, you know, from those experiences, if you could tell us a little about them and kind of what informed what you're doing at the college tour?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of pieces. And it's not, I always say this is not The Alex Boylan Show. Lisa Hennessy was one of the founding members of Mark Burnett Production, who helped launch Survivor and those big franchises, Burt and Roberts. We ran Around the World Productions, Mike Murray. There's a lot of people and a lot of brain power coming into this. That being said, my journey, it started on The Amazing Race. Once I was a market analyst working in Boston, you know, with my international business degree, and got cast on that show. So my life took a right hand, and obviously I won the show, which gave me a lot of opportunities. And for me, you know, it was a time where, you know, you didn't know about every job that was out there, and information didn't flow the way it does today with the internet and phones on. So as you can imagine, you're taking, a kid who was, as a market analyst, putting him on a race around the world. Over 1,000 people are in production of that staff to make that show. And I was looking around and watching these producers, and I couldn't stop talking to them. And CBS is like, stop talking to the producers. You're not supposed to have a relationship with them. But I fell in love. I fell in love with the business. I was like, this is a job. This is, you get paid to do this? And so that's where I learned. That's honestly, my life was a right-hand turn because of that show. I got exposed to a world that I wasn't exposed to, fell in love with the world. And I was like, I'm going to go do that. Like, and so that began the journey. And then I was very, very fortunate. Jerry Smith, my mentor to this day, ran Pine Ridge Film and Television. Got to rewind here, 20 years, but great hotels, Samantha Brown. I mean, he developed a lot of talent. And he gave me my first shot. And first job was selling stock footage to news stations. But that turned into me hosting shows. That turned into me producing shows. So it was a very boutique production company where I really got, and I was that type of kid. I was just so excited to come to a production studio. I couldn't believe someone was going to pay me to come here. And I was that kid. I just loved learning everything about the business. But I learned a lot there. The big thing, which I'll get to now to the college tour and this next chapter of my career, I created the first online interactive show with Burt and Roberts called Around the World for Free. One person has to circumnavigate the globe without any money. And the whole idea, because at that point in time, I'd been hosting shows, but once again, it's scripted and it's kind of like, here's what we want you to say, and you're going to go to this park or to this restaurant, and this is what you're going to say. And I loved real people and I love real stories. And so that was this show. Imagine it was with CBS, but it was two people, myself, this gentleman named Jolt Luca, no money, left Times Square. And people wrote in and be like, come stay with me, and circumnavigated the globe in 159 days. And that got turned into 11 hours of television. You could watch 5-minute episodes every other day. It was all, what you were watching was less than 24 hours old. You know, this is pre-Facebook. YouTube's just coming out. So this is extremely innovative. Everyone in LA told me no 1,000 times on that show. And finally, CBS, after like 3 different no's, they finally said, here you go, Alex, we'll get behind this. And so And that turned into 11 one-hour episodes of television for WGN, sold to 100 countries around the world. That takes me to, like, the next level. I created something that worked, which is hard in anything in life, right? And so I learned a lot doing. We did two more seasons of that, and I would say the next 10 years of my career, whether it was a fishing show, I did a show called Missions in Action, which was telling the story of, you know, what happens when you buy a goat for a family in Africa. Like, I would dive into the trenches of NGOs. And so I love people. I love getting to know people. And so you take that experience and, you know, I did real estate shows. I did fishing shows. It was a really natural transition. Like, the format of the college tour, and I'll tell you a funny story if you want to hear it. But, like, I love the fact that it's real students, and it's real students telling real stories. So if you follow my career backwards, it always is kind of stuff that I was always doing, was just telling stories of real people in real places. And so it wasn't a huge transition into what the college tour, but I'll tell you, episode one, I learned a lot for the college tour, Fort Lewis College, Durango, Colorado. And at that point, I didn't want these students to feel like they memorized anything. So I was super nervous about creating a script. And so I knew this student was going to talk about the theater department. This student was going to talk about engineering. And I was like, here, we have some bullet points, but I just want this to flow. And, you know, I got out there and they're like, what am I supposed to say? So episode one, after like 2 days of filming, I'm calling students up. I'm like, we got to write a script. We got to memorize the script. We're never going to be able to get through this in 5 days. So obviously, we've learned a lot in the making of the college tour to make it as efficient and effective as possible. But at the end of the day, I have a huge joy to just meet new people and bring their stories to life. And I think that's what the college tour is doing in this vertical.
I love it. The two big takeaways, you just ended with them. But one is you love people. You believe in people. You believe there's so much hope and joy in what you bring to this work.
Oh,
you
know, thank you. Yeah.
Just walking into the room today, you know, you're just an incredibly joyful, happy person, and you bring that to everything you do, which is amazing.
So, I appreciate that.
Well,
I appreciate that. And I really do. I tell people all the time, a lot of time, because, you know, I'm on average for about 9 months a year on two college campuses, right, for doing the job. So it's like I travel Monday, shoot Tuesdays, travel Wednesday, shoot Thursdays. And of course, there's a crew there all week long filming. And everyone's like, how do you do it? And I tell people, I'm like, this is the best job I've ever had in my life. I go, A, I'm going to college campuses. How many people from the college tour, by the way, who say they want to go work in higher education? Because it's a great place to be. It's just full of youth and innovation that's coming. So it's a great, great place. But I go, you know, most of my career, I might be sleeping on the floor of God knows what, wherever, or trekking through some jungle to get a story, or taking Humvees up to in Somalia to go to Dadaab. And so, like, I'm like, I stay in hotels. I get to eat where I get to go explore America, which is awesome. The fabric of this country is so amazing. I get to see all of that, see the different cultural differences. And I stay in hotels and I get dinner whenever I want. So no one needs to cry me a river.
Well, but you still bring, you know, it may be a job you love, but it's also clearly one that brings you a lot of joy as well.
That.
And things. And
I love
fantastic.
Every part of that. I love every part of this. And you know, and it's fun too, because as the college tour has grown, we've hired a lot of young students, and there's nothing more. I mean, you do it all day long, and especially here, right? And one of your biggest missions is make sure they're prepared and get them into the career that's right for them. So it's once in a while, it's fun. There's been students that we've met on campus that now work on the college tour.
That's great.
How cool. And then there's nothing when I see them, and you know, and I see there was a student who came from University of Cincinnati. She started as a PA, and now she's worked her way all the way up to a DP. And so there's nothing more fun than watching, you know, young people flourish, find their passion, and just, you know, find a career that they love. I mean, life's short. You got to love it. You know,
That's great. I mean, I love the way you're kind of built in career readiness and, you know, development there as well. It's not only the experience of someone being on the college tour, but working with it. You've built it into your model of how you do this work too. That's fantastic. But the other takeaway, in addition to your excitement to work with people and meet new people, is the storytelling. And, you know, it's really a gift to be able to tell an art, to be able to tell stories the right way. And, you know, one of my earlier guests on this show was with a guy named Angus Fletcher, a professor at Ohio State University. And he's a scholar of storytelling. He does like the science of storytelling and narration, and talks about how important a story is for how we you know, the creativity in our brain and how it really taps into human creativity, stories like a technology that can help us create and think differently. And I think you do that brilliantly in this show. It's storytelling. Every student is telling a story. Can you talk a little bit about how what is a story to you? You know, you're telling the student's story. Like, what are the essential components that needs to be included? Whether you're following someone around the world without money can you get around the globe without any money? Or whether you're talking to a student on the college tour or someone fishing, what are the elements of a story that you think are essential to be able to convey who that person is and the message you want to share with people?
It's a great question. I got to think about it what's interesting is my dad, I think we talked about this last time I was here. My father's a pastor. Yeah. So I grew up every single Sunday listening to my father tell stories. And I think there's a piece that just kind of was driven into me naturally. What we talk to our team about a lot as they're, and I'll just talk about the college tour here, but this goes for anything. Do you lean in? And I think that there's a little bit of instinctual there, but if all of a sudden, if a student's being pre-prepped and let's say they've been casted or maybe it's in the beginning of the casting process and they're just, you just want to get them talking. And then whatever I'm naturally being like, wait, you came from El Salvador? You know, it's a student here that we feature here. It's like, oh, you came from El Salvador here at 2? What was that like? And so as soon as I'm leaning in to, they always say a good story can be written on a napkin. A good story is a good story. And so to me, it's like really leaning into whatever it is that excites you. And so for me, I don't think about it too much. As soon as I'm asking questions, I'm like, pause right there. Tell me more about that. If I'm feeling that that's exciting, I think the audience will feel like that's exciting. So I think you can take that and I go across, around the world for free. I mean, imagine this is a kind of a crazy show. People write in, we show up, and then we got to come up with the story, and then we're going to move over to the next place where we're going to go. So I think there's a lot of prep there. There are a lot of stuff I learned because the speed at which that show moved, one of the first things we would do would just, let's just sit down and tell me about your life. Like, what do you have here? And I would be able to, so maybe there was a skill that was learned there that I'm articulating that well here, but we'd sit there and be like, oh, where it could be in Peru, and there's a street that like specializes in cuy, which is guinea pig, And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what? That's a delicacy here. And so I'm leaning in like, yeah, let's go do that. Let's go tell that story. And so Around the World for Free really trained you. And a lot of the shows during that like 10-year block of my life where I was doing real online interactive programming, you don't know the storyline beforehand and you got to like listen. And I think that makes a great producer is honestly just shut up and listen and then lean into something. And so I think all that hopefully comes together in the college tour and trying to figure out, of course, if we're going to tell the story of healthcare, we need that to be a narrative throughout it, but just play by play. Hey, here's the classes I take in this. No, what's passionate? Why are you here? The why is really important to ask. Like, why? Why are you passionate? Why are you here? Why did you do this? Because if you can get to that, usually it's going to translate on screen pretty well.
That's great. I love the leaning in, and I can see that because you care about people, and you're a true humanist, right? It's a natural thing for you to lean in. I can see that. You're curious about everyone's story and what they're bringing to the world. Yeah. So, and I love the why as well. So lean in, why, and find the passion.
Yeah. And listen, it's one of the hardest things. Listen. I think in anything, when I do speak to young people and I'm on campus, and whether it's entrepreneurship or wherever they're at, it's like, it's the hardest thing for me because I'm a talker. It's the hardest thing I've had to learn. But with age, I've become better at it. But one of the best things to do is just don't talk and listen, because a lot of times you'll learn just by listening, what someone's story is, what is driving them, what's going to work or not work in the marketplace if you just listen.
That's great. So I'm going to lean into your story a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. You were working in Boston in finance, it sounds like, right? What gave you the idea to join The Amazing Race? Like, what was it that, that's a pretty big decision.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big risk. What is this?
Some like magical, I wasn't like a normal kid, because my father was a pastor, grew up with barely any money. There's four of us. But my parents did have, like, they had all these missionaries and people they knew around the world because of their work, you know, all these NGOs. And so, you know, I didn't go to Disney World. My parents never took me to SeaWorld, but I was like helping feed the poor in like Izmir, Turkey. I can tell you stories of that. So I had a very unique upbringing of seeing the world, appreciating different cultures, different religions, everything at a very, very, a very young age. I lost my train of thought. What was the?
So what brought you to join the Amazing Race?
Okay.
No, but that was great. I was hoping you'd go there.
Yeah,
so
but
that's
just understand like the fabric of my young. I had a lot of adventures as a kid, and at one point my parents took. It was the last time my older sister and my younger sister. We're all going to be under one roof, and my older sister going off to college, and my brother, then me, and all this. So my parents like pulled us out of school. No money barely, and backpacked from Turkey to Scotland. Like, yeah, I mean, like old school drag, you know, and that was it from an 18-year-old down to like a 10-year-old.
And that's where your idea for making it around the world
was. And it was just, I definitely grew up with parents that loved different cultures, loved to travel, loved adventure. So that was part of the fabric of who I am. I was 14 when I took that trip. And so I always say like, that was my older brother and sister, they're almost like too cool for school. Like they had girlfriends and boyfriends. Like, why am I going to Europe? My younger sister doesn't remember it as much, but I was right at that age. I was like, I don't have to go to school. You know what I mean? My parents are still cool. So I was at a really impressionable age when I did that journey. And then my dad's amazing, but my mom really pushed me every time I had an idea. So I'll tell you a couple of the stories and I'll get to Amazing Race here. My older sister I was probably 14. My older sister's good friend went off and did an exchange in New Zealand. And I remember I'm a kid and he's all over telling, his older kids telling me all these stories of New Zealand. I'm like, that's awesome. And I was like, I wonder, and I was pretty decent at soccer. And I was like, I wonder if I could go play soccer like somewhere better than America. And my mom like dug into it. She's like, that's what you want to do? And you know, at the age of 15, I moved to Campina Grande, Brazil, lived there for a year with the host family and played for the junior team of Campinense. So like I went to a high school that only spoke Portuguese. I live with a family that only spoke Portuguese. I did not speak Portuguese. So that I really grew up in these certain experiences. And then in college, a good friend of mine's father ran this software company out of Europe and offered me an opportunity. So I moved to Munich, Germany, and took a semester for like the most unbelievable internship on planet Earth. And then, so I'll get to now, I've had this like adventurous fun, and I have like parents, my dad, I mean, he's very passionate about his work. I mean, you know, and so I had parents that like loved what they did, excited what they did. And now I'm crunching numbers behind a computer. I don't know if that was the right fit for me. But I was trying, because I didn't grow up with money, I wanted to make money. I was very driven by money. I was just like, oh man, I want money, you know, because I never had it. And so I thought I was making all the right moves. When I'm in this job, I was not happy. I knew it. My parents knew it. But I'm kind of going through the motions. I guess this is what you're supposed to do. And do you remember the summer of 2001? That's when Survivor came out. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
So Survivor comes out. And that was the first time I ever watched television. I never watched television, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, these 12 or whatever, 15 strangers stuck on this island. So I was glued. Every Wednesday night, I was like, this is, now we're talking.
And about storytelling, right?
Yeah. So I was like super into Survivor. This is a long, convoluted story, but I'll tell it if you got the time. So I applied for season 2 of Survivor. And I was pretty far down the casting process. During that time, because that year I worked in Germany, right? I had a year left of eligibility. And some bad stuff happened with the soccer programs. They lost all their recruits. And so I get a call while I'm in this job I don't want. I get a call from my alma mater and saying, hey, do you want to come back and play soccer? You have that year left of eligibility. We'll pay for your MBA. So I'm like, bingo. I get out of the job that I hate. I go back down to Florida. I'm like, this is great. So now, I'm in this casting process with Survivor. They're very interested. And all of a sudden I'm driving down. They're like, and back then they really did care what you did. I don't know why. I don't think that matters now. But anyway, so I'm going down there. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go back to school. I'm like, oh, that's okay. We could have you as an MBA student. Like they were kind of going into this Boston guy who is stuck in the corporate world, but doesn't really want to be in the corporate world. That was kind of the image that they were playing. And they're like, and so they were okay with me. Now I step foot on it. Technically, you know, D1, you have back then, I don't know what the rules are now, 5 academic years to play 4 years of athletics, but it's a ticking clock. So technically, this is my 6th year, right? Of like, you know, even though I graduated school in 4 years, which usually it's a technicality that you can get around. But because of what happened to the program, NCAA was all over it. So within 3 days of being down there, they put me ineligible. And so, yes, so imagine I'm a young kid and I quit my job. I just lost my ride, right? And so I'm like, well, what do I do? So I ended up, and I loved the movie. I don't know if you all remember it, Tom Cruise, Cocktail. You remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I loved that movie as a kid. Watched the, like, burned out the VHS, watched that movie a million times. So I was like, God's telling me something. One-way ticket, dropped my car off at a buddy who was going to school down there, dropped my car off there, one-way ticket, moved to the Caribbean, and just kind of like live life for a year. I had to come back for his graduation. And so I came back. He's like this really smart double engineering degree, excited to hit the corporate world. And so I'm like 23 right around now, back home in Boston. I'm young enough where it's not uncomfortable to be back home, but I'm also, they're like, what are you doing with your life, Alex? So there's a little, I'm in an interesting time. And a pop-up comes on the computer. So you got to remember, all that's only been on television for reality shows is really Survivor. And it's like Race Around the World. And I was just like, that sounds awesome. And my sister, I told her, she grabbed the camcorder. Me and my buddy, best friend, Chris Luker, who I was on the show with, we grew up since kindergarten together in Boston. And she just recorded us just talking. I don't even know what, I'd love to get my hands on that casting tape. And CBS called us and went through it and got on it and won the show. So that's a long story into that. But that's, I think that it's just adventure, a little bit of risk taking, knowing that, you know, if it's better to be happy and to enjoy, wake up every day fired up for what you're doing than not. And I think, you know, that's the amazing part of what you do here is helping, you know, some young people are going to know, some are not going to know. And I would say it's okay to, but you're here to, like, I always say, it's like, we should change the name of college to like playground, because that's what it is. It's like a professional playground where you get to try new things and talk to people who don't agree with you on certain things. And it's just this amazing playground to like foster ingenuity and where I should go in life. And so, yeah, hope that answers the question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that. It's incredible.
It's a crazy journey, right? It's crazy.
It's really exciting, though, and it really explains a lot about, you know, what you bring to the college tour and the other work that you've done as well. It's fantastic. And you know, something like the college tour is an incredible innovation. And I do believe it is changing the way students can make choices about college, the way families can. And I think, at least our experience, it's also a reflective exercise for the campus going through it as well. I think there's a lot of thinking that you do about, well, who are we and what is the message that's coming across? And, you know, how is that, are we living up to what our students are hoping for? And so I think it's in so many ways, it's information that's, you know, not only helping students make choices and families make choices, but helping us all reflect on the state of higher ed and who we are as institutions. And, you know, we're a unique campus here, 9 universities on one campus. We want to be able to take the power of 9, maybe even 12 universities, because that's the number in the system, and really do some creative, innovative things here. So we've got some good inspiration from you, Alex Boylan.
Well, thank you. And you all are the pioneers. It's amazing what this model, what's happening here. I can't wait to watch it grow here and onwards, because it's one of those things. It's almost like what we do is almost similar. I've had a lot of people look over and say, like, how did that never happen before? How is there not, you know what I mean? How are you, like, the college tour is the first time it's a television show. It's almost like here, where you brought these universities together, supporting the community and allowing, just giving the opportunity to how many students that, you know, have families, they need to be here, but they want to be, whether it's Towson or whatever it is, I get to go to school there, get the degree from here, but I can come to something that's close to home. And so very innovative what you all are doing. So partnership.
It's a great partnership, and we hope to be able to scale and grow what we're doing. So yeah. We want to be able to double, maybe triple one day, the number of students we're serving. So
yeah,
Alex, this has been a delight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, for sharing the innovation. Thank you so much for the partnership on the college tour. I want to give a shout out to our team here at Shady Grove, who had such a blast working with you and who did such a great job. Steve Simon and Jeff Kenton and Kelly Lay and Christy Christensen and the whole team who was, you know, such a part of this. they enjoyed it so much, we all enjoyed it so
much. Yeah, and vice versa on our end. I mean, everyone still talks about it, and it really is two amazing teams coming together to create this. It's like we always say at the beginning of the first kickoff call, I don't know if y'all remember this, but we always say, it's like, okay, now we're a family. Like, we have to be a family to do this, because it's two worlds coming together, you know, to make that episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today. This was a blast.
This is awesome. Thank you.